Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Long Shots. Here's Wes Reynolds.
Welcome in. It's Long Shots Around the World edition. Kelly Bidlin, Wes Reynolds. Wes, how you doing, buddy? I guess this will be our first time for a quick Masters debrief. I don't want to steal away. I would say I don't want to steal away from Around the World, but since Around the World's staying with the PGA Tour this week, it feels applicable. How was your Masters, buddy?
Okay, a small loser. Wish I could have done better, but that's what happens when you don't take the 4-1 favorite and he ends up running away. And it looked easier than it was, because obviously Scottie Scheffler certainly had his challenges both on Saturday and Sunday, but you know, just eventually pulled away once they made the turn on Sunday and all the other contenders around him, Morikawa, Homa, Ludwig Aubert, all these guys started making little mistakes, and Scottie Scheffler didn't make many mistakes on Sunday on the back nine. Yep. So, you know, you get a 4-shot win, and sometimes, you know, it's like in horse racing, you know, sometimes you get one of those like 2-5 or 3-5 favorites that you want to bet against. And then sometimes the favorite runs like a 2-5 or a 3-5 favorite in a horse race. And that's what happened, I think, here with Scottie Scheffler. It really, what kind of surprised me was there were guys that shot well on approach that were in the top 10 and finished high, but this was not as important of an approach tournament as I thought it was going to be. Yeah. This was about off the tee and about short game. And Scottie Scheffler even said that in the post-round press conference on Sunday, that's what this was about. And he was one of the better ones in both those categories. So Scottie Scheffler now with his second green jacket. We'll see this week when we get to the RBC Heritage for the regular Long Shots episode, if he's going to be a withdrawal this week, because everybody was kind of saying, oh, he might withdraw. I'm like, well, I don't think his wife, Meredith, is due for like another week or week and a half. Well, now it's the week and a half, so it might be this week in South Carolina.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you brought that all up. So bloodbath for me as far as the tournament went. I would say, you know, for a lot of things that we talked through in the Long Shots podcast, if you listen, I want to say I'm proud of myself for identifying the win equity and the threat at the top of the board in Scottie Scheffler and dialing back what I did with the outright market. Because I don't know about you, Wes, but the Masters is usually the tournament I will have the most outright bets in of all year long, just because I'm usually racking up 1, 2, or 3 in the months leading into it and then adding on my normal, you know, 3, 4, 5. I only had 5 outrights, I think, in this tournament total, which is a little less for me. I didn't bet them too heavily because of Scheffler. So I decided to sink my money a lot into, you know, top 10, top 20, in a lot of tournament matchups. At all point did I get my face kicked in. The one's really worth calling out, Shane Lowry. He did absolutely no favors for me. And then, man, like, you know, Colin Morikawa, Max Homa, good on you out there if you had those guys having a good week at the Masters. Because I think you, Matt, and I all talked about those guys at least in different bits last week. And it was, you can't really, it was hard to make a case with the recent forms those guys had been in.
They showed nothing. They showed absolutely nothing yeah. coming in. And, you know, yeah, I had a couple hard luck matchups as well. Patrick Reed bogeys 18, loses to Tyrrell Hatton. Sergio Garcia melts down on Friday. I had him against, I think it might've been Tom Kim, and he misses the cut. So, full matchups, tournament matchups weren't good for me. Individual, like the round by rounds were pretty good and the placements were pretty good. And then the futures were obviously a loser. So small loser for me this week.
Yeah. Now I will say real quick, you and I did do a podcast Wednesday before the Masters. I ran through a few questions and I said, what's your favorite bet of the week? My answer was Hideki Matsuyama over Jordan Spieth in a matchup. And that actually won, no matter how bad Hideki yes. Matsuyama played. So hopefully that's the only bet people tailed me on out there. And that actually got home for you. But we'll talk much more with Matt Brown when we do our normal long shots episode about the Masters going forward, RBC Heritage. No rest for the weary, including ourselves, as you do go to a signature event. Is that what we're calling them now, Wes?
Yes. I feel
like we've changed names so many times. Elevated, signature, all this stuff. We do have another signature event in the RBC Heritage. We will get to that, though. This is for around the world. Now, we don't have anything going on in LIV or DP World Tour this week, so we will be going to the Corrales Punta Cana, where we are in the alternate field. What are they called? The alternate field event?
Yeah, it's just alternate event. It is a full field down here in the Dominican Republic. Still say at least in the same hemisphere this week.
Right, exactly. And I was joking with you off the air before we started recording. Yeah, it was Masters was so bad for me. I'm betting the RBC Heritage, but it's pretty light as well. But man, maybe this is the tournament I should be betting, because I sure see a lot of my lovable losers on the odds board here. Alex Noren, maybe number one at the top. I know you, Matt, myself have all attacked him this year. I feel like he's one of the few guys that's actually made me money. Him and Nikolai Højgaard right now at DraftKings 12-1, your favorites for this tournament. Billy Horschel 20-1. Didn't catch his name before. I didn't know he was in this. Nate Lassie 25-1. Kevin Yu 25-1. Doug Gim, Aaron Rye 25-1. God knows I've dumped enough money on those two losers before.
Yeah.
Davis Thompson 28-1. Everybody else 30-1 or longer. Another guy, I'm just going to say it now, I'm going to put a bet in on him just for the FOMO and for the love, is my boy Daniel Berger 40-1. Still struggling to get back from that back injury. I know you were brave enough to bet him a little bit early on. I think you wanted to hit him while the odds were still long. And if he did get back into form, you knew those were going to be shortened up quick. I think 40-1 in this field, I might take a swing on my boy Berger. But before we get to all the bets and everything, Wes, kind of break it all down for us, what we're going to see.
Yeah, and this is the Corrales Punta Cana Championship in the Dominican Republic, called the Corrales Golf Club. Designed by Tom Fazio, does a lot of different designs on the PGA Tour. Par 72 of 76-70, second longest course on the PGA Tour, but it is pretty easy and flat. You've got some holes that play along the coast and some holes that are inland here. We talk about kind of the closing stretch of holes. What do we have? The bear trap, and we have the
snake pit
and all that. Well, this time, 16 through 18, is called the Devil's Elbow.
Yeah, that's a good
that
one.
Doesn't sound fun, but this course does usually have pretty low scoring. It's almost like two separate courses in one, with the inland holes and then the coastal holes. It is Paspalum, which is a turf that you see a lot in the south, low maintenance, a lot in terms of irrigation requirements as well. Fairways are pretty wide, 6,000 square foot on average, 11 on the stimp. Doesn't really favor any type of player. So bombers have won here. Superior ball strikers have won here. It's all about, who gets really hot with the putter. So I guess if you're looking at comp courses, El Chameleon, where they used to play Mayakoba, Gran Reserve, which is the course for Puerto Rico Open, the Plantation course at Kapalua, Kiwa Island, Vedanta Vallarta, where they play the Mexico Open. So, big boy golf course here at the Corrales Punta Cana. The winner last year, by the way, was Matt Wallace at 28-1. Some previous winners, Chad Ramey, Joel Damon, Hudson Swafford, Graham McDowell, Bryce Garnett, Nate Lashley, when it was a web.com tour event, and Dominic Bozzelli, because this was a web event on 2016 and 2017. So, guy, you know, you have a few European Tour players or DP World Tour players, I should say, that are in this. You don't get, because it's the alternate event, you don't get in terms of a Masters invite, but you do get the full FedEx, you do get FedEx Cup points, and you do get a 2-year PGA Tour exemption if you win this thing. So, you know, still some valuable FedEx Cup points at least up for grabs.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you could tell that by some of the guys showing up, right? And you know, real quick, just no judgment on any coastal whores out there. Make your money however you need to make your money. I mean, no judgment on this podcast, okay?
I did hear that slip up.
It's all good, bro.
I was about to say, hey, can we cut and edit that out?
No, it was way funnier that you did. I just wanted to let you run. No judgment out there. Hustle, make your money however you need to.
Yes.
This is a betting podcast, for Christ's sake. Okay? No judgment here. Judgment-free zone. But yeah, you're talking about some names. I mean, I'm laughing at calling them my lovable losers, but these are guys. I mean, Horschel, Norin, Kim, Rye. Like, I mean, these are guys we see regular mainstays on the PGA Tour. So clearly, they're going down there to play for something. Absolutely. Might not be a Masters invite next year, but like you said, this is big time for the points race and everything. So top of the board, did you have any interest in attacking Norin or Højgaard? As much as we've liked Norin, I was a little surprised he was the favorite. Now they're co-favorites, but I was a little surprised he opened up the favorite over Højgaard, to be honest.
Yeah, I went a little bit down. I did not use either of these guys. Certainly Norin, by the way, played very well. I had him actually in the event near the end of the year, the Bermuda Championship, that Camilo Villegas ended up beating him when Norin was the overnight leader, and I thought I was going to cash a ticket. So he does play well on these kind of like coastal courses, or certainly has in the past. You know, Nikolai Højgaard has played some of these overseas as well. But yeah, I did take a pass at least on the first few on the leaderboard.
Okay, so where did you start your card at?
Went with 28-1 Nate Lashley, who I mentioned, former winner here in 2017. He's been fourth, 15th, and twice just inside the top 30, other than his win in 2017. So great form here. Really good form in Puerto Rico, too. I think his last four finishes were 8, 7, 3, and a missed cut there before that. So 6 in strokes gained total in this field over the last 36. So I thought Nate Lashley made some sense. His buddy Stefan Jaeger just won down there in Houston, where he's greenside to help him celebrate. They are old friends and old teammates, I believe, in their junior golf days. So Nate Lashley could go well this week. Victor Perez, 33-1, who actually just missed out by one spot, because, you know, they have like that Aeon Swing 5 and that next 10, because it's the top 50 in the FedEx Cup points that make up the bulk of these signature events. And then they go with that next 10 and that Swing 5. Well, Victor Perez was 6th in the Swing 5, so he missed it by one spot. 3rd last month in the alternate Puerto Rico Open event. Last victory was on the DP World Tour 2023 Abu Dhabi. That last win, it also came on Paspalam golf course at Yas Links, where that Abu Dhabi championship was played. So this is a guy I think could go very well, and maybe it's a little narrative street. It's like, okay, he missed by one spot to get in that field in Ed Hilton Head in South Carolina. Now maybe he goes and wins this, and this is the best thing for him. So Victor Perez, 33-1. Sam Stevens, 35-1. He was 54-hole hole leader here last year, eventually finished 3rd. 2 top 20s in his last 5, including at Puerto Rico, which is very similar to this course. Matty Schmid, 55-1, 3rd in Bermuda last year, 10th at Puerto Rico back in March. Since that finish in Puerto Rico, T26 at the Players, T17 at the Valspar, T21 at Houston. Obviously, those three fields much better than this one. So I think, you know, he's a big hitter off the tee, too. So the distance should help him a little bit, as it could Peter Quest at 66-1, one of the longer hitters, one of the better putters in this field. Last year on the PGA Tour, the few starts he made, he was top 4 at the Rocket Mortgage, had 3 other top 20s. Yeah. This year on the Korn Ferry, you know, he hadn't really gotten off to a good start, but was top 10 at the Valero a couple weeks ago. So maybe this is a good spot for him. And then one I kind of did a little shot in the dark here, because he's obviously never played this course and doesn't play really much overseas here, is Alex Fitzpatrick at 80-1, who I think people know the story that the Fitzpatrick family frequently vacationed at Hilton Head when they were young kids, including obviously the older brother, Matt Fitzpatrick, who is actually defending winning this year in Hilton Head at the RBC Heritage. So maybe a little narrative street here where Alex, you know, wishes he could be there with his brother and wants to get on that PGA Tour so bad, and then wins this alternate event. Won on the Challenge Tour last year. Essentially, this is his rookie season on the DP World Tour. He's been top 20 or better in five of his last nine worldwide starts dating back to last December. So took a shot with Alex Fitzpatrick at 80-1.
Are they still going to be playing in the match play together? What is that?
I wonder if they are going to play in New Orleans together. Yeah, I got to look at that field because that is coming up. That's a good call by you. That Zurich Classic of New Orleans, where one day it's a four ball, one day it's a foursome, and then they alternate basically back to back. So you do have that team event coming up in New Orleans here. So, yeah, because I was kind of looking at the schedule. I was like, okay, you know, where is Scottie Scheffler maybe going to take off, you know, when the little one comes due? And I don't see him committed as of yet for that Zurich Classic, but the Fitzpatrick brothers are, I believe, already in.
Okay. All right. I like it. All right. So run through the bets one more time, Wes.
Okay. Let's go. The top was Nate Lashley, 28-1. Victor Perez, 33-1. Sam Stevens, 35-1. Matty Schmid, 55-1. Peter Quest, 66-1. And Alex Fitzpatrick, 80-1. So we got six here for the Corrales Punta Cana.
I think I'm going to tail you on Stevens and then throw a burger bet in. Yeah, if you're telling me this is, we got to go long off the tee, Sam Stevens feels like a good bet there. The yeah, you're right about Peter Quest, man. I feel like me or you or Matt, but probably me or you, because it was me and you basically doing this all through the fall. We had a better two. I feel like we had a better two on him in the fall. But you're right, man. That's a rough story, man. That's tough.
Yeah, because he's had to do some Monday qualifying to get into is a couple PGA Tour events this year because he doesn't have full status.
Yeah, it's no bueno. So that is the part of golf that, you know, we don't talk about enough. And I say we as just the media in general. I mean, it is such a grind for those guys to even make it up to the PGA Tour.
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible. And then I mean, I love the stories. I mean, it's always better when I have bets on them, but I love the stories on the tour of the guys that, you know, who was it, Harris English last year or two years ago, right? Winning in Hawaii and almost breaking down crying because he hadn't won in so long. It's like, you know, those are the things we don't think about when we're watching Scottie Scheffler win three events a month,
right?
You know, on tour and talking about that. A couple other things I want to hit with you real quick before we let everybody go. Any reaction to the poor Masters TV ratings? I'm sure you saw those.
Yeah. I was a little bit surprised, I guess, because, you know, everybody's like, well, you know, once you get, you know, all everybody together and whatnot, you know, and all the tours, all the ratings are going to go back up, and they haven't. Yeah. And part of it, I think, you know, Scottie Scheffler is still very new on the scene and, you know, obviously doesn't move the needle like a Tiger or somebody like that. So, you know, I don't want to say it's much ado about nothing because there's clearly something here. I think probably a little bit of it is fatigue. It's like, okay, we now know that we have this other tour, even though there's not a lot of viewers in droves actually watching this tour, you know, but I think that kind of registers a little bit with people, you know, where it's like, okay, you know, we're kind of tired of it. You know, who's going to be here? Who's playing this week? Who's not playing? So, yeah, I was a little bit surprised they were at least that much down from the previous year.
I was too. I mean, I don't know. The note I thought I saw was what worst ratings outside of the pandemic one since like the 50s, right? Mm-hmm. Since the November 2020, right? And then 2021, that was pretty shocking to me. But the one question I was asking a couple people over the weekend, including Gary McCord, who we did get into an interesting conversation with about this kind of live PGA Tour stuff going on, because he was one of the guys that they live targeted to be an announcer, and he just didn't want to do all the travel.
And his buddy David Faraday, of course, is in the booth. Yeah.
So and honestly, Wes, I feel like reading in between the lines on one of the questions I asked him, he was like, "Don't be holding your breath on this PGA Tour Live deal. Just there's so many things that they have to still go through. I guess even though we were promised a deal in the last summer, right? And then they extended it to the new year. Sorry. They made the deal that they were going to make a deal last summer, and they said it was going to happen by the end of 2023. That didn't happen. They extended it to the beginning of the Masters. I don't know about you, but I haven't heard jack diddly about what the hell what the status is of that when they had to set a deadline for themselves of the Masters. I think that is definitely a huge part of it. I absolutely do. And you hit on another thing. I kept asking people, when you saw it was kind of Scheffler, Homa, Morikawa, Oberg, I was like, who moves the needle the most right now, right? Like, I always talk about individual sports, whether it's UFC, whether it's tennis, whether it's boxing, whether it's golf. Star power, especially these days, is so needed to grab the attention of the masses, right? Like, you have to have that Conor McGregor who's not only going to kick everybody's ass, you know, at least for a short period of time, kick everybody's ass, but then has a personality, right? And you're talking about, like, that's where I was like, I think Max Homa is about the best the PGA Tour could do right now, because at least the guy's got a personality. It would be his first major win, and I think he could connect with a younger generation that never hurts with golf right now. And I just don't know. I don't know if Scheffler winning, like, we talk about the winning side of it being a huge factor, but there's another part of it that I think he's lacking, and I think that shows up in the ratings a bit.
Well, you need Rory to win more, too, because I think he's one of the big names. By the way, that was a big story overnight, that it was reported that he got that big LIV offer, and he goes, I don't know where this came from. No, I've already made it clear, because I think it was Todd Lewis, a Golf Channel, that was there at the RBC Heritage, where Rory, of course, is playing this week, and he's like, no, I'm going to be on the PGA Tour, because there was a part of me when I reacted, and I saw people react to this, it's like, if he would go there after all of this, and I know he's probably ticked off at the PGA Tour because they maybe let him hang out to dry and maybe didn't inform him enough of these negotiations that are happening. Meanwhile, he's out there, you know, defending the honor of the PGA Tour, both publicly and privately. And I was like, man, if this is how this story ends with him going here, that would be, you know, that would be certainly a hell of a twist and turn. But I think Rory knows that would probably go bad for him. In terms of his legacy, if that's what happened.
Wes, my reaction when I first saw it was, if there was, okay, besides some of the dudes who are just straight up stealing money being on the LIV Tour that, like, nobody really cared about that much on the PGA Tour, much less what they care about right now on the LIV Tour. Besides those guys who are just stealing a healthy paycheck, I don't know that there's a single person on this planet that has more of a reason to take the payday from Liv and jump over than Rory McIlroy. That guy, I'll take it a step further. That guy died defending the shield of the PGA Tour. The PGA Tour commissioner and everybody making money off of it turned their back on him as soon as they possibly could and threw him under the bus. For a guy that's been the media face of the PGA Tour, for you to stab him in the back like he did, I would have had absolutely no problem if Rory McIlroy came out and said, you know what? Everybody else is doing it. Give me a bag of money and I'm going over there until they figure out how to bring these two tours.
You know, honestly, Kelly, and you know, I know what he said to Todd Lewis today, but there was probably some of him, if this offer was in fact made. Now, he said this offer wasn't made, and he said he's actually had conversations with the guy, Yassir, who is the head of the PIF over there in Saudi Arabia, the public investment fund. But if there was an offer made, I feel like maybe one of the only reasons he is staying is because they're launching this, like, that virtual thing, that PGL, Tiger Woods. And plus the fact that Tiger Woods is now a player director on the PGA Tour board of directors. So he's part of these negotiations and all of this stuff and has some power within the game, which he's always kind of had, but never really officially in terms of this role. You know, if Tiger wasn't involved in trying to, you know, kind of, you know, help out the PGA Tour and get more money invested in the tour and obviously have a negotiation and perhaps a little peace accords between these two tours, maybe Rory would have considered it a little bit more.
I'll tell you the one part I don't believe. If you listen to what he says at the beginning of this answer.
I honestly don't know how these things get started. I've never been offered a number from Liv, and I've never contemplated going to Liv. I think I've made it clear over the past 2 years that I don't think it's something for me. Doesn't mean that I judge people that have went and played over there. I think one of the things that I've realized over the past 2 years is you know, people can make their own decisions for, you know, whatever they think is best for themselves. And, you know, who are we to judge them for that? But personally for me, you know, my future is here on the PGA Tour, and it's never been any different.
Rory says, if you caught it there, that he's never been offered a deal by Liv. Now, he quickly moved on from that statement, Wes. I don't believe that for a second. If you are Liv, wouldn't you want... It's easy to throw a bunch of money at some guys that want to take the money, but when you have Rory coming out, bashing Liv, protecting the PGA Tour, and then the PGA Tour turns on him like that, you're telling me Liv didn't give him an offer that very night? I would have. If you're Liv, I wouldn't have cared what you said about us before. If I can turn Rory McIlroy, that is the ultimate plant the flag moment of Liv Golf to say, we turned this guy. That's how much the PGA Tour is falling apart right now.
Well, here's the thing. Even before that, you know, other than an obviously like half, I don't know how to phrase it, half crippled or disabled Tiger at this standpoint, mm-hmm, physically, yeah. Who else would I want than Rory McIlroy? He'd be the first guy I'd want. I'd want him over even Brooks or DJ.
And we know Tiger Woods got an offer. That's been reported. We know that much. So Rory, hey, we're PGA Tour guys here. Thank you. We love how, even if Jay Monahan doesn't care, we care about you protecting the PGA Tour, trying to. But, man, I don't think you got to lie about any of this stuff anymore, man. You don't got anybody else that you got to worry about anymore. I hear you on the Tiger part. I think that's a big factor. All these guys respect Tiger so much. Yes, I don't think Rory wants to be that guy, but I also don't think Rory wanted to be the guy in the first place. He was the guy who took a step forward and said, fine, I'll speak on behalf of the PGA Tour. What's Scottie Scheffler doing? He's not talking anything about PGA Tour and Liv. He ducks those questions whenever he can. I don't know. Random tangent there. This was around the world. Figured we'd fill it in with a little bit of Liv conversation. I wanted to hit on that with you. I wanted to hit on the Masters ratings. Those were a bit of a surprise for me. And this is, you know, I don't want to speak for everybody. It's been a tougher season for me betting golf right now. A lot of it is because of this Liv PGA Tour split. Or I don't want to say a lot of it, but at least some of it is because of that. And it's shaking up odds board. It's shaking up win equity within the game. And it's some of it's been tough for me to figure out right now. And I know that just the casual viewer is not having a good time with the separation. You want to see all the best playing together. Need to get that done as soon as possible. It is really driving me nuts. All right, Wes, good luck this weekend. I'll be joining you on a couple of those bets. We will have RBC Heritage preview coming up on Long Shots. Until then, good luck on all your bets. We'll talk to you soon.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.